Preferences may play a role. The minor parties won't win a seat at this state election, you wouldn't have thought. The Katter Party will most probably pick up two. They hold three at the moment. They expect to lose one and have two. Whether or not Pauline Hanson can win the seat she is contesting remains to be seen. The Palmer United Party, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, may well have had a major impact on the election, less so now. And the Greens are not expecting to win a seat, but they still could have an influence on the election. How? Well, it might be to do with preferences. Glenn Drury is a political strategist who's also known as the Preference Whisperer and is joining me this morning. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
How does the preference system work?
Look, that sounds like a very simple question, but it would involve a whiteboard and some hours to explain it to you, and it could be a very dry subject for
if I'm voting at the election and I have on my ballot paper four people to choose from and I go 1, 3, 2, 4, then if the person I vote for doesn't get in, my vote then goes to number two, is that correct?
Look, essentially that's it. And around the world we have many different types of electoral systems and processes. In the Senate we have a thing called the group voting ticket that allows all political parties to effectively deliver their primary votes to other political parties if they fall over, and that's done through a thing called the group voting ticket. That, of course, doesn't exist in Queensland state elections. There is no upper house. So it is effectively the voter numbering squares. You want to vote for you, for example, one for you and two for me and three for your producer, and if you fail to get up, then it will come to me and so on, and it will flow down to hopefully where your vote will eventually finish. Now, you don't necessarily have to number all of the squares or the boxes, and if none of your candidates are elected, well, then that's cool. That means your vote will exhaust.
Okay. Now, with regards to being handed a leaflet on the day, parties have their own preferences, don't they? If I wanted to vote Labor, they will be trying to get me then to preference someone, or if I want to vote Greens, to make a deal with, my preference would go to someone else. But I still have the right to decide who I want to preference. But parties try and get you to preference, so it benefits them, doesn't it, if they don't get in?
Oh, yes, of course. You know, we hear a lot about, backroom deals and whatnot that happen in upper houses. Well, certainly deals happen with the lower house, and deals will happen in Queensland. For argument's sake, let's say, and we'll draw a hypothetical, Labor and the Greens do a deal. Well, it might look like this, that in certain seats, I was going to say marginal seats, but there's a lot of potentially marginal seats in Queensland at the moment, but in certain seats, the Greens would be handing out their how-to-vote card that would have obviously vote one for the Greens and two for the ALP. Now, I'm not saying that deal's been put in place. It may or may not happen. That's up to the Greens and the ALP. But that's how it would work. And similarly, with the minor parties, One Nation may, for argument's sake, do a deal with Family First, who may do a deal with PUP, and they would have their how-to-vote cards numbered accordingly, and their people would hopefully follow their how-to-vote cards.
Now, with regards to these minor parties, the likelihood of them having any seats in Parliament are low. The Katter Party would already have some seats, and they're likely to hang on, but the other party is less likely now. How can they have an impact on this election?
Well, look, I agree with your summary in the introduction. I think Katter is likely to save at least one of their seats, possibly two. I wouldn't write PUP off entirely. I was one of those that dismissed PUP prior to the federal election, and they surprised us all, albeit their primary vote is on the wane a little. If Clive comes in and throws a substantial amount of money at any given seat, well, I wouldn't write him off. Pauline Hanson, you mentioned her earlier. I think she's probably had a day, but she certainly could be a force. And to answer your question a little more directly, what impact could the minor parties have? They can potentially have a very big impact. If, for argument's sake, the minor parties chose not to preference the LNP anywhere, then, as I mentioned earlier, in that case, if the voters do follow the minor parties' how-to-vote card, then their votes will exhaust. Now, given the other issues that are being faced by the Newman government at the moment, this, I would think, would be a very bad thing for the Newman government strategists to cope with right now.
Is it fair to make a judgment like I am, that most minor parties develop as a split away from a conservative group, and therefore they're less likely to want to support a group they've split from, and that minor parties' preferences would, as you mentioned, likely go to the ALP, and it would be concern for the LNP in this election?
Look, with regards to the minor parties that are registered in Queensland, and I don't have the list in front of me, but from the top of my head, we've got Palmer United, Qatar, One Nation, Family First. That's all of them, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's
pretty
one
much.
More. There's, one more.
There's most probably others, yeah.
Look, most of those groups, so what people would say, are from the right. So most of those groups, while they will take some votes away from Labor and some will take some votes from the Greens, they will predominantly be dipping in the same pond as the LNP. Now, if these groups choose, as I alluded to a moment ago, not to preference the LNP, then there could be a substantial number of those exhausting. Or in some cases, some of these groups may even choose to preference the Labor Party.
Okay, so we should keep an eye on what they say and what they do in the lead-up in regards to where they want their voters to point their preferences.
Well, it's going to add an interesting mix to what I believe will be a very difficult election for Campbell Newman. I don't recall ever having an election at holiday time. And yes, it's the end of January, but, you know, when I was a boy and we went away camping and whatnot, the world didn't really kick on in Australia until we went back to school, until February. I don't think the voters are going to be very happy with Campbell Newman for bunging on an election just a couple of days after the Australia Day long weekend. That's one big issue he's got, and goodness knows why he's chosen to do that. Their record isn't great. I think he's viewed as arrogant. And as we saw in Victoria, and this will have an impact in Queensland, the federal government, coalition government, is on the nose, and that had a big impact in the Victorian election. So the Newman government has got a lot of things stacked against them, and if the minor parties turn on them, well, is that going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back? I don't know. It's a hard call. Will they lose to Labor? That'd be, we saw a massive bloodbath at the last state election with swings of up to 20% in some seats against Labor. Can they come back against that? Boy, that'd be history if they could.
Well, it'd be unbelievable if it happened. But you were influential, were you not, in the Victorian state election?
I certainly worked in the Victorian election, yes.
Yeah, and with regards to preferences, they can make a difference in that respect.
Oh, they made a huge difference in Victoria. We've just seen five members of minor parties elected to the upper house, and now they share the balance of power. So I'm very happy with that outcome.
Have you been asked to help here in Queensland?
I will be involved in the Queensland election, yes.
Okay. Well, that's it. We'll watch with interest. I'm assuming then that being the preference whisperer, that it may be with regards to some minor parties. And we'll be speaking with Clive Palmer, hopefully between 8 and 9, when Patrick Condren is joining me after 8 o'clock. Len, I just think it's interesting. It's elections, there is no such thing, I don't think, as a dull election, because even though the Liberal Party, the LNP here in Queensland, has just such a massive lead, there are so many little subplots, aren't there? And what you're talking about with regards to preferences is just one of those.
Oh, look, this is going to be a very, very interesting election. But I think one thing we haven't touched on is the Premier's own seat. The betting markets have him losing that. I'll go out now publicly and say I think he's probably going to lose that seat. I don't recall the last time a government has won an election and their leader has lost. This may be the first time. Perhaps you should check with Anthony Green on that one.
Yeah, at a state level, yeah. In Queensland, it would be right. Anna Bligh went close last time. She managed to hang on to her seat, but you're right. And interesting, yesterday, John Harrison on the program suggested he wouldn't be surprised if the Premier wasn't too upset about that. He's been under a lot of pressure, and I know that his family, particularly in the lead-up to the last election, they took a lot of blows as well. It became very personal at the last election. Hopefully it won't be that way this time. Glenn, thanks very much for your time. We'll keep an eye out with interest to see your involvement in this upcoming election, and thank you for your time today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Glenn Drury, a political strategist, also known as the Preference Whisperer, and said to us there that, yes, he has been asked to do some work, and one would imagine it is with regards to preferences and with those minor parties involved. We will keep an eye on, see how Glenn is involved and what impact the minor parties do have here in Queensland.